السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, we know that now it is not possible for people to suddenly make an application for Hajj and proceed. Those days it was extremely easy. If a person decided overnight that he wishes to go for Hajj, then as long as he had his passport, he catches the flight, he lands at Jeddah, and he gets visas there at the airport. That easy and that simple it was. But it's our sins and our actions and our deeds and our loss of respect and azmat of Kaabatullah Sharif, Madina Sharif, and the type of things that we engage in whilst we are there in Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Tayyiba. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also withdrew many of His favors from us, and then He puts people in charge who make things difficult. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts the people in charge, and they make things difficult after that. But in reality, it is our own actions and our own deeds which bring such results. There was a time when people were living just around the Kaaba Sharif, or just very, very close to the Kaaba Sharif. Their windows used to open into the Baitullah, into the Haram Sharif. The homes were just around there. The whole area, if you have to look at the very old photographs of Kaabatullah Sharif and the Haram Sharif, then the area around there was very, very small. And around there were the homes of people or the hotels. Now the window they could open and look right into the Haram Sharif, people making sajda, people making tawaf, people making salat. That simple and that easy it was, and that close they were. Now indeed it is due to the large number of people coming for Hajj and the need for expansion of the masjid that all those homes had to be broken down. But at that time when that was the opportunity that was given to people to be so close, people used to open the windows, sit in their rooms, got a cigarette in their mouth, and then look into the Haram Sharif and say, MashaAllah, today the crowd is very, very big, blowing the smoke into the Haram Sharif. And this is not a lie, it's a truth. So what happened? After that they were told, move further, move more. Until finally all the privileges were withdrawn, and many of them that were living there were told to pack up and go to their countries because they lost the azmat of that holy house. I mentioned last night in my bayan, whilst we were discussing on Naat Sharif, that recently the number of dreams that people are having, they are very, very shocking. Someone dreamt that the Kaabatullah Sharif is upside down and Christmas lights are around the Kaaba Sharif. Someone dreamt that there is music that is being played all around the Kaaba Sharif. There's like a band that is playing around the Kaaba Sharif. And very recently, about 2 or 3 days ago, the person dreams that there is a flea market that is inside the Kaaba Sharif, and there's buying and selling inside the Kaaba Sharif. Now all these dreams are clear indicators that the azmat of Kaaba Sharif, the respect of the Kaaba Sharif, the respect of the Haram Sharif has diminished from our hearts. Now that music that is being played, it is obvious that there is no band that is playing there. Somebody will say, where is the band? We didn't see any band playing there. But look at the number of cell phones and all the musical tones that are on those cell phones. You are sitting there just near the Kaaba Sharif and you can listen to it on the right, on the left. You can listen to them behind you and in front of you. And no one has the courage to even tell the person that, please, you are sitting in the Haram Sharif, switch off this musical tone. By the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, there are such types of dreams that they are shocking. And it is an indication of the type of Hajj that we are now making. So there is no doubt that there is great, great virtue in the performance of Hajj. And the person who has made a maqbool Hajj, a mabroor Hajj, a Hajj in which the person hasn't engaged in any kind of sins and vices and evils, the person has controlled his nafs, the person has disciplined himself, the person has been obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the person has made Hajj in the manner that it should be made according to the Sunnah, then the sawab of that Hajj is nothing but Jannat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give that person Jannat in the Akhirat. And in this world also there are lots of benefits, but the person does not go for the sake of those benefits only. He does not just go for Hajj so that his risk may increase, although that's one of the benefits. But now if the person says that I'm going for Hajj so that there's an increase in my sustenance, then we will say that that should not be the objective of that Hajj. So as far as Hajj is concerned, it is one of the pillars of Islam, and I'm not going to go into a detailed discussion of Hajj, because as I said that it is not possible anymore just to decide overnight and go to Johannesburg, catch a plane and arrive at Jeddah and get your visas. Although even with all those restrictions and with every kind of obstacle that may be placed in the path of the Hujjaj, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system is such that if a person is sincere, he is making dua and is making the correct effort, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala somehow conveys the person for his Hajj. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned very, very clearly, and that Hadith Sharif is well known to everyone, where he described the four categories of the Hujjaj, the people that will be making Hajj in the latter times, those people who will be just doing it for the sake of tourism and nothing else. That's all. How we go and visit some city in some other country, and then we return and we brag about all the tourist attractions that we visited. So like that, people will go in latter times and their intention will be nothing but just to go and see what Makkah Sharif looks like, what Madinah Sharif looks like. On their return, they will talk very, very highly about the very wonderful atmosphere there, and what beautiful buildings there, and how wonderful the masjid is, and there's no masjid like that in the world. And they will talk about the architecture, and about the designing, and about all the chandeliers, and about the carpeting, and everything else they will talk about. But what did they come with from there that they're not going to talk about? Because the only thing we have is what we brought in the bags, nothing we brought in the heart. So first group that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, those people who will go, the very rich people, they will go just for tourism. Amongst them can be the kings, the rulers, and the people who are wealthy, but they don't have much iman and Islam in their heart. They don't have yaqeen and faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala. They don't have much obedience of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but they have plenty of wealth, so they will go there once in a lifetime and go and make Hajj and come back. But it will be more for tourism than anything else. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about that group of people which will go for Hajj, but they will be going there just for business. Once again, we must understand everything properly. Everything must be put into its proper perspective. Otherwise, just now we will come to conclusion that anybody who does some kind of importing and exporting with Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, if he does some purchases there and brings this side and sell, or takes something and sell that side, then it is haram. So that is not what is meant in this. If the person is going for business, then he must make it very clearly known. If somebody makes mulaqat with him and they ask him, by where are you going? Then he must say, I'm going to Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, but I'm going on business. Then he mustn't say, I'm going for the sake of Hajj. whereas Hajj is just a sideline issue, his main purpose is the business. So then he must say clearly that I am going for business reason, and there's nothing wrong with that, he's going for business. And by the way, he got an opportunity, so he made Hajj also, so there's nothing wrong with that. But where the person brags about going for Hajj and give everybody the impression that I am going for nothing but Hajj, and in the meantime the person is going for nothing but business, so then that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is referring to, that many people will go there for nothing but business. We find many people coming from different parts of the world. They will land at Jeddah, they will conduct the trade, the business, and they will disappear. Many of them don't even visit Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif. And many people come there and they find an opportunity, so they make some Umrah, they make some Hajj. But their purpose was not Hajj and Umrah, their real purpose of coming there was business. So if it was business, the person says clearly, there's nothing wrong with that, that I'm going for business reasons. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about the so-called scholars and learned people and those who have titles like us, Maulana sahab, Mufti sahab, Qari sahab, Hafiz sahab, Haji sahab. Now, people who will be learned, people who will be scholars of deen, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they will go and make Hajj for no other reason except name, fame, show. Hazrat Maulana so and so made so many Hajj. Hazrat Maulana so and so went Umrah every year, half a dozen times. So that's all. There will be nothing else. That means that ikhlas, that sincerity will be totally lost. And then the poor and the very needy people, many of them will try to find some kind of transport to get there, and their whole maqsad and objective will be nothing but to collect from the Hujjaj, because there's no other place that you can become rich so easily as in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif. We have seen with our own eyes those little children that are walking about there, and some people with their hands missing or leg missing, but they go one round, their pockets are bulging, they go outside, they empty it and come back again, and they bulge again, they go outside, empty it and come back again. Therefore the government also, when such kind of beggars, when they die, then they seal their homes, because they find hundreds of thousands of riyals in many, many homes. So he said that they will be going there for nothing but begging. So what does this then mean? That the person who is rich, he mustn't go. The person who is an alim, he mustn't go. The person who is a poor person, he must not go. It does not mean that. He is giving us a warning that if you are going for Hajj and if these are your intentions, then you are going to be going through all those difficulties of Hajj, and at the end of the day you have received no sawab for that Hajj. And those are the people that return just as they went. I have mentioned many times that the Hajr-e Aswad is a touchstone. It's a touchstone. How the jewelers, they have a touchstone to check in those days. That is what the jewelers used to have, a kind of a touchstone, and used to indicate whether the gold is pure gold or it's not. So like that, this touchstone, that is the Hajr-e Aswad, the black stone which came down from the heavens. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if the people, or because of the people who touched the stone, when it came down, it was milk white. But the kuffar, the mushrikeen, at that time, they also used to make tawaf, they used to touch the black stone. Then it became black, otherwise it was milk white. And the people who are sinful ones like us, our touching makes it black, made it black. But he said, if it had not been for that, then people with leprosy, people with other kinds of sicknesses and diseases, the moment they touched the Hajr-e Aswad, their sicknesses would have vanished. That was the barakat of that stone. But once again, our sins had an effect and an impact even on stone. If our sins can have an impact on stones, and those stones turn black, then what about our hearts? So that Hajr-e Aswad, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he kissed. That is why we kiss the Hajr-e Aswad. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, or Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he kissed the Hajr-e Aswad, he said, Ya ayyuhal hajar, innaka la tanfa'u wa la tadar. O you stone, I know neither can you harm me in any way, neither can you benefit in any way. The stone itself cannot benefit and harm. But he says, if I had not seen my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing, I would not have kissed it. But that stone does have an effect. And that is that when the person is touching that stone, and everyone clamors, they just want to force their way and brag about it, and especially our women folk, They will push and bump and do anything to get there, and even our menfolk. Look at the fighting that goes on by the Hajar Aswad. We think it's a big joke. But after touching that, then it exposes the person, what he is. Therefore, I have mentioned in many of my Hajj bayans that the person who is touching the Hajar Aswad, at that time he must be very, very composed. He must be conscious of the fact that he is touching the Hajar Aswad. And he must realize that after this he will not be able to conceal his weaknesses and faults. When this person returns to his home, if he was a womanizer, if he was a gambler, he was a drug addict, he was a fornicator, whatever he was, if he made sincere tawbah when he touched the Hajar Aswad, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make him maaf and conceal his sins. But if the person, whilst he is there also, he has got no sincere intention of giving up those sins of his life, then when he is going to return, believe me, within a short space of time, it will be exposed that what this person was engaging in. Many of his sins which nobody knew about, they will come to know. How many husbands got caught after going for Hajj? When they came back, they got caught that this husband of mine was having extramarital relationship. And when he got caught just 2 days after returning from Hajj, and somebody got caught a month after returning from Hajj, because they did not make sincere intention of giving up that sin. So that is that Hajar Aswad that is there. Then there is the Multazam that is there again. That is a place where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of the Haji Sahib. Now if the person is sincere and he attaches himself to the Multazam and he says, Ya Allah, I have come here with my sins, with my baggage I have arrived here. I am not doing a Hajj topic, but it has just come by the way. That the person is now pleading to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the du'as of the Multazam are accepted. And it is the experience of millions of people around the globe that if they made sincere du'as at the Multazam, then they were accepted. All the muhaddithin, when they used to relate this hadith sharif, they used to say that we made du'a at the Multazam and we saw the fruits of that du'a. They were accepted. Even this sinful, insignificant servant of Allah Ta'ala can say the same thing. I have seen the fruits of so many of my du'as that I made at the Multazam. So this Multazam is something which a person attaches himself to. It is as if he is giving up. That is why you raise your hands there to say that I gave up, finish, I put all the sins behind me, I'm not going to return to them again. But there again, if the person does not have that sincere intention of giving it up, he will return as he is or even worse than what he is. Kaha meri qismat tawafe haram, kaha meri qismat tawafe haram, jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam, kahan meri qismat tawaf e haram, jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam, jisse chipke the kul seenae anbiya, jisse chipke the kul seenae anbiya, mere seene ko haasil hai wo multazam. Kaha meri qismat tawaf e haram, where was I deserving to walk around the Kaaba Sharif making tawaf? Kaha meri qismat tawaf e haram, when I know where my feet have walked, how many cinemas and discos and theatres and haram places my feet went to. Now today I am walking and making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. Kaha meri qismat tawaf-e-haram. Jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam. That ground on which my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's feet walked. And not only he, the 124,000 anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them the opportunity of making tawaf. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, Bayezid Bustami rahmatullah alayhi, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, and the millions of awliya-i-kiram. And all the Sahaba Ikiram, all these people made tawaf in the same piece of ground, not somewhere else. There could be new tiles there, but the ground is the same. Kaha meri qismat tawaf-e haram, jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam. So should not we be very, very careful then? And then jis se chipke the kul seenae anbiya, mere seene ko haasil hai wo multazam. And that multazam where every nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala placed his chest, today, the chest of this sinful servant is also the same place. That was the Multazam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and tajalli was descending. around the Kaaba Sharif was the same thing. Therefore, that example I have given dozens of times in different places, and many are quoting it to now, that if you have to go upstairs and look down and look at the people that are making tawaf, it is as if it is the washing machine that is rotating. I always say that when we put our clothes into the washing machine, it is dirty clothes that we put inside. People, we do not put our clean clothes into the washing machine, we put dirty clothes. And then we put some detergent there and we press a button, and thereafter the drum starts rotating. And as it is rotating, it is extracting all the dirt. And after some time, then they'll spin and the clothes come out and they are clean and they are white and they're bright. And then we take it on the ironing board and we iron it, stretching it properly. And then if we still find some spots, then we take some clean green or something and remove it. So just like that, look at it from the top and you will see it is just like that. That here we put our dirty clothes into the washing machine, and there we put our dirty hearts into the tawaf. And the button that we press is at the Hajr-e Aswad. That is the way we make Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and we commence. That's the pressing of that button. And then just as the drum rotates and extracts dirt, now here when the Haji Sahab is making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, is going round and round, round and round, with his Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah, La ilaha illallah, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Now all these things, it's extracting the dirt from him, from the heart. At the end of the seventh round, now the person has come out white and bright heart. Then he goes to the multazam, he stretches his hands above his head. That is like the pressing of the ironing of those clothes. And that is the ironing of the heart. And then he drinks zamzam to clean and wash the inside also. So now he has come out clean, which means that when he returns now from there, then he must look after this cleanliness that he has obtained of his heart. By returning to whomsoever, whatever is due, if he had taken the properties of orphans, widows and destitute, and he had devoured it, or he had stolen money, or he had caused somebody harm and injury and pain, whatever rights of people now he could not have fulfilled before he came for Hajj, now when he returns, he must start going and doing that. Start making the qazas of his whatever has been missed. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for maafi and forgiveness. The sins will be forgiven there. But after that, he has to go in the direction of the tawbah that he made. Now the time is expired. I was going to discuss something about Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. May Allah ta'ala make it maqbool and mabroor. And may Allah ta'ala give us also a share in their du'as and in the tawaf and the ziyarat and the ibadat. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give those like us who have already made Hajj the tawfiq to fulfill the rites of that Hajj that we made. That after that we behave like Haji Sahib, away from sins, away from vices, away from evils. Akhlaq in our lives, namaz, roza, zakat in our lives, become model examples of a true haji. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim bi rahmatika ya